This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that pushes play on your favorite movies and scenes that are just so much fun. That's what this podcast is all about, the fun that we have in our theaters. I'm the host, DJ, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to any of us, all the listeners, this entire community, by leaving messages on the comments on the website at brightsidehometheater.com. There's comment sections underneath each of the episodes and underneath all the featured theaters. And as I say every week, please leave messages for those theater owners because they put themselves out there and it's great when they get to see what other people think of what they've done. And this week, let's get right to it. This is week 48 of 2020. And this week I am joined by Lee Overstreet from AV Rant. How you doing, Lee?
Hey, man. How's it going? I'm doing good.
Going good. I'm good. Glad you're doing well. Doing well. We just found out today we are in different time zones. For some reason, I thought you were in Eastern in my time zone, but we're an hour apart. I did not know that.
Right. Yeah. No, I've been stuck on Alabama time for many, many years.
Oh, Alabama's in the central? Look at me and my maps.
Yeah. We're directly south of Chicago here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. That makes sense.
Like straight due north, 0 degrees is Chicago.
Oh, all right. So I got to get this out of the way first. Earlier today we were chatting and you said, I'm not a movie buff.
Right.
But right. Okay.
I feel like a weird choice for a movie centric podcast because I love theater stuff. I love home theater stuff. I love electronics. I like TV shows. I do like movies, but I'm not a movie buff in that I don't know directors. I don't know actor names. I couldn't tell you the plot of a movie 10 minutes after I watch it. Movies just sort of wash over me and I go, oh, that was fun. And then nothing gone out of my head.
Exactly. But that's in my podcast, I very rarely mention a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't talk.
Okay.
Like, I'll mention directors like Christopher Nolan, which we may talk about in a minute from a listener. But Christopher Nolan, some of the big ones, George Lucas's, or something comes up and you know they have that repetitive type of work that you really want to mention. Mm-hmm. But I'm much in the same way. And that's why I came up with this podcast, because I love how a movie washes over you. And exactly like what you just said, I think is great, is that you love the experience of the movie. You don't need all the details. And I think it's great. There are plenty of websites and there are plenty of YouTube videos and other podcasts that will get into the nitty gritty and break down the digital bits of each movie and how every movie, like how it's given to you. But sometimes that just doesn't play out in like the feel of the movie and being in the theater. And that's why it's the bright side. When we sit in our theater, how does it wash over you? So that's a great answer.
I suppose in some way I have a little insecurity about movies because I'm always sort of in awe of movie people who just are full of trivia and opinions about techniques and styles and visuals. I mean, I love visuals, the cinematography of it all. I'm into that, but I just feel like, I'm not one of those cool movie people. Right. So it is the most in the moment that you can be, I think, if you approach it like me. But I'm telling you, when I say I don't remember a movie, like a couple of years ago, I decided, let me watch all the Star Wars movies that were out at the time that I could get in what they call it, machete order, I think it's called. There's an order you watch them where you go like 4, 5, and then you go 2, 3, and then you go 6, and then you don't even watch 1.
Right.
And that's supposed to be like the cool way to watch the Star Wars movies. And I had seen them all, but couldn't really remember them. So I said, let me just watch them and I'm going to just have it in my head. So when we go see 7 or what it was at the time, I'll enjoy it more. And I did so. And to this day, I don't think I could summarize the plot lines of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Just whoosh. It was fun while I was watching it. I know who the characters are, you know, I could draw you a picture of various objects, you know, that were in the movies, but
yeah.
So I worry when someone says, let's talk about movies. I'm like, okay. Kinda. I can't. I've got a few lines from like movies that I like and that I've seen several times in my past, and but I guess I'm just always like feeling like I'm just not a movie guy, or like I'm getting old and can't remember things. But I don't think that's the problem. I think it's just the way I enjoy media.
Yeah, and I think from your description, I think we're very much alike. Buddy John, when we talk movies over on my other podcast, he amazes me because he'll only watch a movie once, but he can recall names and characters' names and actors' names and do all of this stuff. But then he's amazed by what I do, and I get into the nitty gritty of stuff. But the only way I can do what I do is by watching a movie over and over. Yeah. And I really do enjoy watching a movie over and over. And the reason I think I do is because I'm a lot like you in that I don't remember a ton, and I know I enjoyed it, but I want to do it again. So every time I watch it, I not only see new things, but I'm enjoying the stuff that I learned from the previous viewing or viewings.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's that, I don't know, it kind of plays well for me that way. And it sounds like you're much in the same.
For the record, I'm waving at my wife who just got home. Yeah. And so, hi, honey. Hey. Woo, she said woo, hey.
Hey, oh, there she goes. She made the podcast. Woo.
There you go. All right, a little woo off in the distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, yeah, so that's why I feel a little awkward. I just don't know a ton of stuff, man. I just always amazed at people who have opinions about just so much. Like, they know the background. They know who catered the food when they filmed that scene. Like,
yeah.
I wish I was that kind of person, but that's not my kind of trivia. If you want to ask me about, like, politics, somehow, for some reason, I know senator names when I see their faces, right?
But, and that's why you're the trigger man.
Exactly. Very easily riled up. I get a little riled up about movies, too. But, yeah, I'm ready to go all the time if you want to have a talk about politics. But movies, this is going to be fun.
Yes, this will be fun. This is definitely going to be fun. So how did you get into, if you don't consider yourself a movie buff, how did you get into home theater and subsequently get involved with AV Rant?
I think as a kid, you can follow it from I used to play with the stereo when I was a toddler. I loved the radio and the stereo, right? And so my parents, when I was like, I was 6 years old, they bought me a tape recorder. And so I started playing with the tape recorder and acting like a DJ. And I eventually became a radio DJ much later. And somewhere in there, at an early age, my grandmother gave me a little camera. And I was fascinated with pictures. And then I think it was in the sixth grade, we had a special little class where I learned about photography. Just simple things, you know, perspective and movement and exposure. And we developed some film, and that was pretty amazing. And then like in high school, I got a VCR when I was 16, which in the mid 80s is like, wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And a VCR on a 13-inch color television. I had a VCR. So I mostly just wanted to record music videos off MTV because I was a mixtape fiend.
Right.
A friend of mine and I would buy 45s and record them to cassettes. I still have all those. I got dozens of those from the 80s. It's really great. And then I think after that, my grandmother got a video camera, and I thought that was the coolest. And by the time the 90s roll around, I am a radio DJ. I start to notice how much I like looking at old videos. I upgrade to a hi-fi VCR. Mid 89, I bought like a 27-inch RCA stereo television. And that was revolutionary. And I bought my first stereo rack system, a Panasonic. I bought it at Service Merchandise. I'll never forget. I saved up graduation money from high school. So I was 18. I bought a stereo, hooked the stereo up to the TV when I got the TV. Right?
Yeah.
And amazed my friends. Look, you can change the balance farther to the left or the right. Wow.
Yeah.
And it really did sound good. And like, I was still living at home when I was 20, and I had a good, pretty good for 1989 home system. And my dad would come watch movies in my bedroom and that sort of thing. So it grew from there. I think it was the year 2000. I finally got surround sound and really good speakers that I'm still using, actually.
Yep.
The main Yamaha speakers I bought 20 years ago are still fantastic. And, you know, just ticked along when I could afford it to continuously upgrade. So I've always been into photography and imagery and audio, obviously,
yes,
and recording audio and recording video. So I also really enjoy home video. I've digitized every home video I have. I might go back and do some of it again because I'm not perfectly satisfied with the technique, but I've got them all digitized. I learned a lot about how to convert those and put them online to look as good as they can possibly look. I'm considering doing that as a thing, as a side gig.
Oh.
I may turn that into something. So that's just, those are all the little things that have happened throughout my life that had kind of led me to be someone who wants to buy an OLED and did, right? So it's important to me. I need things to look good.
Right.
I need the audio to be good. I need the video to be good, or I'm distracted. It sounds harsh. I don't like the way it looks, that kind of thing. So good surround sound and an OLED, it was inevitable. And that's where we land today.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like basically like a lot like me. You like tech. Mm-hmm. Fiddle with
computer
tech.
Guy from way back.
Yeah. Yep. And you like gadgets and tech and stuff. And it sounds like you're an artist. You know, so you.
I do like to create, and I suppose right. To the extent that when I was doing radio and the stuff I've created online, we used to write skits. We did comedy.
Yeah.
And that's we art. Interviewed people. We had live band performances on our radio show. So, yeah, all of that together. It's a very creative process. I do miss that a lot. So this kind of thing that I'm doing with you today is extra fun, feels creative.
Yeah,
anything
is.
I can do podcast-wise and recording things and making videos, that's really fun.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. So, and how did you meet the AV Rant guys? How'd you get involved with them?
If I remember correctly, it was something like 2013 or 2012. Might have been the end of 2012, somewhere around in there. I had just been listening to them because that was of interest to me. I remember one day I thought to myself, okay, I need something to listen to while exercising. And I don't just want to listen to music because I had too many thoughts in my head, right?
Right.
You know how it is? Like,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes you're trying to, like, if you're trying to fall asleep, too many thoughts in your head, trying to exercise, you got no one to talk to. So, I just needed podcasts. And I thought, well, surely someone out there is doing podcasts about home theater and audio video stuff. And so that they were one of the podcasts that I found. And then long about 2012 or 13, they said they needed someone to fill in for Tom or something. And so I offered myself saying, hey, I used to be a radio DJ. I have the equipment. I could do this if you
want.
I do have some knowledge about this kind of stuff. And that's where it started. Yes, Liz and I did a podcast at the, it was in December. It was a Christmas episode Tom couldn't do. So did one episode and then just on from there. Pretty soon I'll get my 10-year pin, with them.
I know. I've heard you mention that. It's like that and a Twitter call. Isn't it something like that? Or
oh, yeah. I want an avrant.com email address.
That's what it was, the email
That's
address.
That's what I don't have yet. So I'm hoping I'll get Lee at avrant.com eventually. That's not there yet, but maybe it'll come. Right now, though, if anybody wants to talk to me, it's at Lee Overtweet on Twitter is a great way to reach me. You know, slide into my DMs, if you will.
Yep.
or just, you know, hit me up on there in some manner, at Lee Overtweet. So if you want to talk, especially if you want to talk like home video stuff. That's been a big topic for me lately. On AV Rant, we did a whole episode where I explained the kind of general process, how you go through digitizing your old home videos and sharing them and so forth.
Yeah, my wife and I are going to be getting into that soon because we keep, especially this time of year when you go up into the attic and get your boxes down for Christmas and you see that box of, you know, Hi-8 tapes or other tapes.
Dude, I hope your videos aren't in the attic. If they are, get them out now.
I know.
Please go get them. I'll melt. Go get them right now.
No, you'll wait.
Like, it makes me so mad hearing that there might be videos in an attic. That is not where they belong. They need the videotapes need to live where you live.
Yeah, I know. I've seen what happens. You ever seen what happens to a candle when you store it in the attic?
Yes, actually, I have. My mom had a candle. Yeah. Yeah, they go flat and do weird things.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, the materials that a videotape are made of, please don't leave them in the attic. Go get them.
Okay, I will get them when we're done.
Please.
It's cold up there right now.
I don't care how cold it is. Go get it. That's one of the reasons you got to get it. It's too cold, and it's too hot, and it's too humid. Wrong.
Okay.
All right.
all right, let's get to
I'm passionate.
I know you are. That's why you're here. And I don't care who says it. You are a movie guy.
Okay.
You're a movie buff. You're a movie guy. You're on multiple movie podcasts. It's about movies and home theater. So
that's true,
you're a definite movie guy.
Well, my goal is to be America's podcast substitute.
Right. Yeah, but you're not subbing in here. You're a guest. This is a guest. You're a guest. This is a guest appearance. Right. You're not subbing in.
Yeah. Right.
So you're my guest. So. Okay. All right, let's get to some stuff. This week, I had a pretty good week for new Twitter followers. I have Christian, who is my 250th follower, but wait, there's more. We have Crowder's Electronics, and then we have Monica, who is my 250th follower. Because somewhere along the line, I had Christian, and then, like I said, Crowder's Electronics, and then all of a sudden, I went down to 249. I don't know. Did I make somebody angry? I don't know. I didn't do anything.
You cannot worry about that.
Oh, I know.
Do not worry about that.
That's why I put it in here. There, not a long time ago, a couple years ago when I first started Brightside Chat, I was trying to grow the podcast and I was watching my Twitter followers and they went down and I was at like 72, right? And all of a sudden one went down and I'm like, who did I make angry? I got all upset. I was new to social media. I was on Twitter for years, but I never followed anybody. I just, or I didn't pay attention to that stuff and I didn't look for followers. I just wanted to read sports and different things.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm getting followers, but when it went backwards, I got all upset. I got conscious of it. I was like, what
did I do?
What did I do? And then as you learn, it's like, oh, okay. People fall in, drop out. Sometimes it's bots. Don't worry about it.
I am full of ideas and have been threatening to start a YouTube channel, and I know I'm going to be the same way. Watch it tick up. If it ticks down, you freak out and analyze everything. I know how it's going to be. It's going to happen to me, inevitably.
Oh, it happens there. I mean, most people, you use social media to boost your own opinions and egos and stuff, and when it goes the other way, you get all upset.
Oh, yeah. I get the mental boost from seeing those likes when I say something I think is funny. Yeah,
exactly. And you're like, hey. Oh. And then if nobody says anything, you're like, well, that one fell flat.
Yeah.
Whoops. I won't say that again.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on from, like I said, Monica was my 250th follower again. Then we had Matt, Decibel Vibe, and Judgy Judgy Preachy Preachy. That's literally the name that he has typed out for his Twitter handle.
Sounds like what I should use. Right? Yeah.
No, I like Trigger Man.
Trigger Man, yeah.
So good.
I'm not sure if this podcast is a safe enough space for me. We'll see.
It's a safe space. We don't get into that here. That's why it's the same space.
Exactly.
All right. So this week's movie recommendations, we have Crawl from Mark V. He says, quote, it's got awesome audio. The rears come to life in this movie. Audio is DTS and does not disappoint. My comment on that one is, Mark, I know I own Crawl ever since I got your tweet or email, I can't remember which it was. I've been searching my house for it because another listener recommended it like 2 months ago. It was like before Halloween, I think. And they said, check this out. And I'm pretty sure I know I bought it and now I just can't find it. So I want to check that one out. I haven't seen it yet. John M comes in with Godzilla from 1998 in 4K. And he says, quote, highly suggest this. It's fun, effects held up, great loud bass, and Atmos mix totally reinvents the movie. It is almost like an amusement park ride. And we really enjoy amusement park ride type movies here. It's like, because that's what the home theater is about.
I don't mind a lighthearted kind of like just turn your brain off and let it rip kind of movie.
Yeah. I like Matthew Broderick. That's the one with Matthew Broderick, too, from 1998. Yeah, sure. So. Reginald Boyd, he recommends Blade in 4K. No comment, no nothing, but that's Reginald. I mean, he's straight to the point, and it's like, I've heard a lot of great things about this disc. Right. So I'm really looking for, I have that one as well. Can't wait for that. This one here is Underwater. It's called Underwater. It's on HBO Max, but I picked up the disc. It's a Blu-ray disc, and it has 7.1 audio. I can't remember. I think it's DTS. I'm not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head, but this one comes from Martin and heard on the Nerdy Legion. That's the podcast network I'm a part of. Okay. So Martin has a podcast called the Nerdy Legion podcast and they talk everything. They talk movies. They talk fun. They talk comic books. It's like the whole gamut of the nerdy type stuff, right? And here's his quote. Really enjoyed the movie, cross between the Abyss, Alien, Sphere, and all those other types like Leviathan and stuff. I'd really like to hear what DJ thinks after hearing it in a theater with good sound, because he just watches it. I believe he watches it on his computer monitor with just a couple of speakers. So he's not getting the full, you know, experience.
Now, at the very least, get a really good pair of headphones.
That's what I've said to him too. He's kind of, he listens to my podcast. He likes to hear what we have to say. There you go. That's a nice
Get you some really good studio headphones. If you have to keep the situation small and you're watching on a computer, at least do this.
Yeah. He really enjoyed our home theater podcast, our Thanksgiving podcast. Okay. I said, you listen to the whole thing, because he's not a home theater guy, but he said it was just a lot of fun listening to you guys banter back and forth, and he really was entertained by it too. So
I had a good time that day. That was a fun blast to meet everybody. I was afraid it was going to be total chaos, but it worked pretty well.
No, I thought we did a really good job at that. It's like, I thought there was just enough of talking over each other to create that environment of like we're all in a room, but I thought we were pretty respectful and we all talked when we should. But I do like a little bit of over talking, especially in this environment, because it gives you that, it's more of an open feel instead of just I say something, now you say something, you know.
Yeah. You'll love talking to me then.
Yeah.
If I go back into like radio mode with myself and my co-host in the past, I'll be talking all over everything. I have to hold back. Yes.
Yeah.
I it's a lot of self-control to just quiet down.
Yep. I'm the same way. I've always want to say stuff. So like, even in that Thanksgiving one, I was like, okay, don't say nothing. All right. You don't have to comment.
You don't have to say something about everything.
Right. Exactly. Let it flow.
Right.
So Underwater, I did watch it. I watched scenes on HBO Max, but I watched the entire movie on disc. The disc is really good. It's a really good home theater movie. Some great bass. It's not as good as, say, Alien or any of those other movies, really. I would put it on the level of Sphere. It's type of that level of movie. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the underwater. It's kind of an underwater horror. There's some jump scenes to it, too. But the home theater environment is just really good for this movie. It's a lot of underwater sounds all around the room and everything. Great bass. And it looked really good on disc too. It wasn't 4K, but I thought the disc looked really, really good. You can catch it on HBO Max and it looks good there, but there's a lot of black crushing going on. It just doesn't look good. Visually and
compared
the audio
to the disc.
Yeah. And the audio it's just not as dynamic. The bass doesn't go nearly as deep on HBO Max, but even on HBO Max, it was a good experience. It's just not nearly as good as the disc.
HBO Max is so frustrating because I keep thinking, okay, I've got this fancy $2,000 TV. It has all these other apps. I mean, things I didn't even ask for. What the heck is Peacock? I don't care.
Right.
But HBO Max, you can't make an app for a LG OLED, knowing that LG OLED people love movies. You can't.
Yeah.
And so all I had was a separate Chromecast I had to plug into the receiver. And it's an old Chromecast, so I'm watching in 720p.
Oh.
Very frustrating. Yeah. On a 4K television.
Great. Yeah, that is frustrating. Imagine going back to, what is it, like 350 or whatever it was for standard?
480.
480, but yeah, broadcast was lower than that. I thought
broadcast
TV was
480i. Again, don't get me started. I'll talk your ear off about old television. But yeah, broadcast television was 480i. And it was approximately broadcast maybe 330 lines. So sort of like you were getting 330 by 480.
Oh, okay. That's where I was getting my threes from. Because yeah, I know like DVD was P. Went to like,
yes, it was 480p and it was 720 horizontally with literal pixels and not just like lines with pseudo pixels.
Right. And the last recommendation is for me. I put it in here and I attach the link to the show notes. It's the YouTube link to Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? It's that time of year. And if you check out this link, it's pretty cool. It's the video from back in 1984 and it's all of the art. It's obviously the song, but you see all the artists and like Sting and Bono and Boy George and all of these. Those are the ones that jump to mind right now. But Look at how young Sting is.
Re-scanned it in 4K, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what's so amazing. Do you know Alanis Morissette did that with everything off Jagged Little Pill? So if you want to see like the video to Ironic or something like that.
Oh, really?
Go look at, just look up Alanis Morissette 4K videos. It looks amazing, and there's like a weird effect, same with the Know It's Christmas video. Where
this one here, I don't think is in 4K. I just grabbed it's for full screen, though. It's scanned to fit, a 16:9 screen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's 4K. If it is, I'll update the link to it, but it looked really good, and it sounded, I just had a blast because I was 14 years old in 84, and I love this song every year. And it's like, I mean, you can't not get emotional, or I can't not get emotional listening to this song, because you're like, it's a great Christmas song, but it just reminds you of, like, especially being in home theater, we're in the excess of life here in home theater. And then this song is about, you know, the people that, do they even know it's Christmas? And it's just like, really tugs at you every this time of year.
Well, yeah, it also makes me roll my eyes. It's like, do they know it's Christmas? Well, do you know they're Muslim? They don't really care. So it's a little weird.
I think you understand that they're different than the poor people in the desert.
Right. The people that don't have things, and here we sit having things. Exactly. I get that feeling for sure. And it's super nostalgic. What gets weird is when nostalgia meets this crystal clear image quality.
Yeah.
And I find it strange because you never saw it that good then. And so it's almost like a time machine that's too good.
Right.
It's captivating. It was the same with the Alanis Morissette videos. But yeah, when you see something from that long ago when you were a teenager and your memories are soft and smushy, human memories are ridiculous. They're not accurate whatsoever. They're not videotapes. They're not recordings. Your memories are just assembled from concepts, basically. And when you see it that clear, it's really strange, but super. Yeah. If I hear those first little notes of Do They Know It's Christmas, it's almost goosebumpy.
Yeah.
Because I was 15.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal, you know.
Oh, it's crazy. All right. So let's get into some email and Twitter comments. First up, we have Steve George on Twitter. At BrightsideHT, hey DJ, the Lord of the Rings 4K set is a must own. I've only watched Fellowship so far, but man alive, what an audio track. And Steve and I talked back and forth about this one. I too own that, and I am going to be saving my review of Lord of the Rings for next year. Because for the rest of this month, I'll be doing mostly Christmas stuff. I have a couple other things planned. But I'll probably do a Lord of the Rings / Hobbit one a month. And then that should get me to July. Those are great breakdowns. But I did also, I couldn't help but throw the disc in and check it out. And that opening scene, I watched probably the first now 5 minutes of Fellowship. And it looks glorious.
Visually and audio wise as a movie, it's fantastic. It's not my kind of story. Like I've told you already, I can't remember what's going on in a movie. Right. And so if a movie is extremely long and has a million characters and place names and all these details, I mean, that series is, people love it that like to get deep into a world.
Yes.
And know everything about it. And I'm not good at that. So I didn't get, I decided I was going to watch the trilogy one time. I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Even though it looked great, I couldn't get through to the end.
I was lucky. I'm the same way. I'm not into fantasy as much, but I had a buddy of mine at the time back in, what did the first one come out in? 2000, I think, 2001.
Something like that.
And he was really into this. My buddy is Tom Whiffen. I used to work with him, and we went to all the midnight showings. He's a big movie buff, the kind of guy you were trying to describe earlier that you think that you're
that
not.
That I kind of wish I was.
Right. Well, he is, and he all right. read all these books. He was deep into this world before the movies came out. So we did the experience of, we went to every midnight showing of all of these movies, and we would talk afterwards from the different perspectives. There was no podcasting at the time, so it was just between us, but I think it would have been a fun podcast. But he would explain to me too, in the movies before the extended cuts, he would explain to me all the little nuances that were missing from the movies. So it's a great memory for me, having gone through that. I really love these movies because of that. And I think they are a great piece of art as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then to see these new, you know, renderings of this movie. It's like that opening scene, the map. I always thought, like I said to Steve on Twitter, I always thought that map was like a piece of paper, like you would think.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into that one as far as like when I break down those movies. Each movie is two discs, I should say. So that's going to be a blast to get to and gives me time to get to that. So really looking forward to Lord of the Rings in 4K, that set. So moving on, we have WV Brew on Twitter said, at Brightside HT, The Force Awakens 4K is a huge disappointment. The 3D version blows it out of the water as far as clarity and pop, and the 7.1 track way more dynamic and powerful than the Atmos track. It's just not the 3D that makes it better. I replied to him. I haven't seen the 3D version of Force Awakens yet.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I did enjoy the Force Awakens, the Atmos track. So, but the thing with WV Brew is he watches a ton of movies. So he really compares things left and right. Whereas I might watch a movie and then the next day watch something else and be like, oh, this isn't the same, but I'll still enjoy it. He really does get into some of that nitty gritty, which is great because it gives us it gives me a perspective that I don't have. So I really appreciate it. But I do think though with 3D versions, there is that mind trick thing where sound can sound better when you're in that world. And I think 3D
I believe
can
that 100%. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I like 3D, but 3D has to be done a very specific way to work and pretty much have to be with a gigantic screen. It really works well in a theater, sitting up straight, glasses. That's how 3D works. At home, I don't know. I like to lay over on my side on the armrest, you know, and you're moving around a lot and the screen is smaller. And so it just doesn't have the same magic. But, you know, like I saw like Avatar. I saw that in 3D back in the day when that came out. And even though it was just stupid movie, stupid. It was visually amazing.
Yes.
Like it was fun to watch. You know, they did a great job with the 3D. It's too bad the writing was awful.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed that movie because of the 3D. I was just so thing. It just washed over me. Some of those scenes where they're in the ship, but you're outside and the 3D and the glares on the screen of the ship, like the windshield of the ship. And it was just, I really, really enjoyed the 3D in that movie. It was like going to Disney and being on a ride, seeing that in the theater. And
I enjoyed some good 3D too. Like Gravity is another one that's really good.
Yes. I talked about that a few weeks ago. I love that movie in 3D. The Atmos on that is really good as well, but that's not in 3D. So you get, but the 3D is really good on that.
Right.
One.
Right. And also I'm a little jealous of people that have Atmos or 7.1. I'm kind of stuck in 5.1, the shape of my living room.
Yeah.
There's never going to be a way to put rear speakers behind
right.
me. There's a window right there and there's nothing I could do about it. I can't change the house. Nothing's going to move around significantly for me. I can't turn everything 90 degrees in my living room because it would be too narrow. You couldn't get around the couch. So there I am 5.1. So I'll never quite know the magic. I mean, maybe I could do two overhead Atmos speakers.
Right. Yeah. You could probably, you could do that and that would help. It's the way object based works. I think that would really help.
Okay. I might try it.
Yeah. There you go.
Eventually. There's other things on the list that have to happen.
Yeah. It's always something.
Yeah, like the roof.
Yeah.
Gotta buy a roof.
Exactly. Multiple comments this week about Tenet, which is coming out next week. Christopher Nolan's Tenet.
Right.
And a lot of people obviously haven't seen this movie because it played in theaters to a very limited audience because of, you know, Lee, something's going on in the world right now.
It's a little minor thing, death and stuff.
I did get to see it. So I do, I really enjoyed that movie. I just wanted, it's coming out next. It comes out on Tuesday here.
Okay.
But I really, really enjoyed that movie. I've made comments on Twitter about it. The thing with that movie is though, it makes Inception seem like a fun, easygoing Disney movie.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. It's that mind bending. It's crazy. Like, you know how you get into Inception where you get your different levels and we've all had those discussions after that movie.
Actually, I really loved that movie. So now you instantly make me want to see this new one.
Well, this one is like that. I won't give any reason or anything because I don't want to give anything away. But I just feel like after you see that movie, we'll be able to have those same discussions. Okay. Not in a different way, a different subject matter, but it is that mind-blowing bending that at the end you're going to be like, but this was what and how did that happen? And this, I got to see this again. And that's what's so great about it coming out on disc is that, all right, I can just start again and watch it again. Right. The home cinema experience should be really good. Maybe even better than the theater, because I remember before I saw it in the theater, there was a lot of talk about the dialogue not being as clear. And there is that, you know, people say that some of Nolan's movies, the dialogue isn't very good. So maybe.
Do they mean it's not interesting or
it's
literally audio?
It's hard to hear.
The audio isn't there.
Yeah. It's like there's some mumbling and there's some, it's hard to understand some of the scenes. And I did find that in the movie. It wasn't super distracting, but there were some parts that I understood what people were complaining about. So hopefully that may get cleared up in a home environment, because sometimes in the home, when you have your center channel and it's a little more discreet, that can help with that than as opposed to seeing it in a big movie theater. So
right. Yeah, I can't go back to any sort of two channel TV watching, especially again, the arrangement of our living room. We sit off to the sides quite often. And that center channel is everything. So I convert everything, whether it's surround sound or just stereo, well, not music, but I convert everything so that I can hear vocals coming from the center. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, don't get Tom going again and tell him the center channel is everything. Because he'll tell you.
We all have our opinions.
I know.
I love the center channel.
And the last...
As a result of our room, I can imagine if I was always in between the speakers, absolutely, it wouldn't be quite as big a deal. But oftentimes, again, that whole bit about laying over on my side on the armrest, well, then I'm kind of like lined up with the left speaker or the right speaker. And if I'm listening in stereo, all of a sudden everybody's over here.
Exactly. Over the last comment is just, I had a conversation with Craig's Cinema Corner on Twitter about... Warner Brothers releasing day and date for their entire 2021 slate. Before
Didn't
I get
Christopher
into
Christopher Nolan go off on that?
Yes, he did.
I believe he did.
Yes, he did. He went off on, he doesn't like that they're not consulting or something, not talking to the artists about it. And again, everybody has their opinions. And I don't think this is Warner Brothers' choice. This isn't something they desired to do.
No, not really. They're just trying to stay alive for the next year or so.
Right.
I think things will go back to pseudo normal. I mean, there's still going to be a place for people to go to movies. We all of us that went to movies before probably still want to go to movies after the situation that we're in right now. So,
exactly.
And I don't know. He needs to chill maybe for just a minute and, you know, well, let's get through this and see what happens after that.
Yeah. I don't know if he needs to chill though, because that's great. Put your opinion out there. And I mean, people agree with him. I think I do agree with them, because before the pandemic, when listening to the HT guys, they were those people, a couple of guys that were actually talking about day and date release before the pandemic existed, because there is a segment of the population that would like that, right? But that scares the heck out of movie theaters, because they need people to show up. And if you give them if you give these people a viable option to see the movie elsewhere, they're going at their homes, they're going to take it. So that is scary.
I can't help but be influenced just by my own personal situation. Here I am in a relatively small city. We have one theater. It's got 16 screens and like 15 of them are terrible. And one of them is a so-so IMAX. It's like barely an IMAX, quote unquote IMAX. And so nothing has ever worked very well here, and it, you know, it's kind of fun still to go and get a big screen, and when I've gone to see, like I said, the like the Martian and Gravity and stuff like that, that's pretty fun. That's worth going to the theater even in this town. But you know, I can't help but be a little meh. You know, bring it, especially like family movies where you're taking like four kids to something and you're spending $150 one night just to see a movie. I can really see how the day and date thing works there. And I keep telling theaters, it's not like I'm actually calling a theater owner, but I keep trying to send brainwaves to theaters. Yeah, I guess I should, right? But theater owners need to do something new.
Right.
The theaters are extremely average that most people have access to, unless you're in a big city. and they're kind of uncomfortable, and food, there's no, you know, make a nicer place, have something different going on, make it where, you know, there's few just for adults, maybe have some live events. There's all kinds of things you can do at a theater that, you know, you can't just fling a movie up on the screen and without regard to quality or any difference you have from another form of entertainment and just hope it is going to be the way it always was. It's not going to be the way it always was.
Right. And that's what we said in the Thanksgiving podcast too. It's like, I think we're going to see some, the theaters making an effort to try to attract us and make some changes, make some things seem appealing. Like you said, create events like, you know, movie marathons or something, or showcase somebody, like
there's so many things
they could do. So, and it's all good because hopefully we do go back to normal and theaters are, you know, but they're better, but we're back to normal. So
yeah,
the consumer is the benefactor of all this. So
we'll get there. Yeah.
Yep. So that brings us now to this week's featured theater. And this week we have our theater from Dalton C. But if you would like to have your theater featured, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. This is actually my last theater. I have no more in the queue, Lee. This is the last one.
Well, so maybe I should send you mine.
There you go. Send them. That's what I was going to do. I was going to ask all the guys to send me this stuff.
Right. Because hey, I can send you a video of mine. I have video.
Yeah. Well, maybe I could post a video.
I mean, you could edit that in, couldn't you? You've got that technical ability.
Yeah, sure. I got nothing but time on my hands.
Yeah, it doesn't take any time.
Right. So, but yeah, so Dalton emailed me a little while back. He said, "Hello, DJ. I recently upgraded my living room theater to all new equipment aside from my vintage 2008 Toshiba HD DVD player. My equipment is as follows. He has an Emotiva XMC2 home theater processor. He has a Emotiva XPA4 Gen 3 4-channel amp, an Outlaw Audio 7000X 7-channel amp, Panasonic UBP 820 Ultra HD Blu-ray player, Fire Stick 4K, LG CX OLED TV, Panamax M5300 PM power conditioner, and for speakers, he has Emotiva T1 Plus Towers, Emotiva C2 Plus Center, Emotiva B1 Plus Side Surrounds, Emotiva B1 Plus Back Surrounds, and Emotiva A1 Top Front Atmos Height, and Emotiva A1 Top Back Height. And he rounds all that out with a beautiful SVS SB16 Ultra Subwoofer. He says the sound quality is fantastic. Also have some decorative acoustic panels on the left side of my wall. My wife is very understanding and supportive of my hobby, but since it's a living room, I can't really do too much decorating like I'd have in a dedicated home theater room. I have added some limited signs and will continue to do little tweaks here and there. Pics attached. Thanks for checking out my home theater, Dalton."
I tell you what, I love that, you know, daddy's big chair right there in the middle, man.
Yeah.
That looks cush. That is, that is the pilot seat in the middle of his living room.
I know. We'll get to that. But yeah, let's go through this stuff. First off, on the equipment, that Emotiva, I have an Emotiva, what do I have? I have an Emotiva XPA5. I have an XPA5 Generation 2, and it's sitting in a closet.
Because, what?
Yeah, well, my Denon runs my room really well, and I'm dying for separates. I've always wanted, and that's why I have it. I wanted to do separates because I come from back in the 80s where it was like you needed to have separates, you know, amplifiers and everything needed to be cleaner. You need to never run your speaker wires alongside each other. They should always crisscross at a night, you know, because that could be interfering. I mean, you wanted the cleanest possible sound. But yeah,
it does make sense to crisscross power with low voltage signal. That's true.
Yes. But I would love this Emotiva XMC2. I would love to get one of those. I've already got the start with the 5-channel amp. I just have to add an additional one. I could run my room, but it's really not necessary in the room that I have. So someday when I get a bigger room, I would upgrade to this, but I really like this. Let's get to the pictures. So we'll look at the first picture here. You can scroll down, Lee.
Yes, and, I'm looking. First picture, I see the little black valance at the top of the door. Is that because there's like a little window at the top of the door?
I would assume because...
I think that must be what that is.
Yeah, to keep the light out. This is actually a door to the exterior, but I opened with this picture because it looks like it's welcoming. It says home theater. He's got the little signs, home theater, action, relax, and enjoy.
I love those.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I like the look of that. I like the vibe of it. You know what I mean?
Relax and enjoy. It just doesn't get better than that. And action. I love action movies. That's right. But if you notice in the first picture, there's nothing on this little table right here, Lee, on the left-hand side.
Well, that's where you're supposed to throw your keys when you come in the door, right?
Or if you scroll to the next picture, it's a great place for a popcorn maker.
Hey! Look at that. That's adorable.
Isn't that awesome? He sent me that a couple of weeks after he sent the first picture, and I was like, that is perfect. It looks great sitting there in the room.
Yeah, and it does look good. It makes sense. And now you sit your keys on top of that.
Yeah, except, or right next to it. You always know they're protected. And that the fact that, like he said, is like this is his living room theater, and he has a decorator, a wife, and it's as much her living room as it is his, and she's very supportive. But this is a nice little piece that it says theater, but it's not taking up the whole room.
Right.
Pretty cool.
His furniture is big and plush.
Yes.
And as we scroll down to the next picture,
I put this one in because it looked like when I first saw this picture, I was like, wow, those rears are right behind you there. That's kind of weird. I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the room when I first saw it.
Right.
But this is just a side couch that he has.
The couch is on the side. So you can do my trick where you lay over on the armrest.
Exactly.
But in his case, you lay back on the armrest and you're facing the television.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And you see
that's my kind of couch situation right there.
Exactly. And you can see the SVS sub in the corner there. And if you scroll down to the next picture, you see a close up of the top view of that SVS, that big boy in the corner.
If you're old like us, you know, the sort of blue fluorescent display is also sort of nostalgia triggering.
Yes.
I'm thinking about like a cassette deck my friend's dad used to have that had the sort of fluorescent blue meters for the levels.
Oh, yeah.
And the numbers looked like that. And I love that. It's like Tron from the 80s.
You got to have something like blue lights and digital words. It's just something about being in the 80s. You like that blue light because the Emotiva stuff has blue lights in it. When you light up that gear, we'll see when we get to that. But I mean,
they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know their demographic.
You know? Exactly. And it's, I love that stuff. All lit up nice. Oh.
Yeah.
So good. Next picture, we go to the shot you were talking about where we have, you know, the captain's chair. It's like, you know, Kirk should be sitting there.
That's right. I think I and my wife could fit in that together.
Yeah. It does.
We're pretty small.
Yeah. It is a big chair. That is nice. And I mean, he's a local boy to me.
I see the Patriots blanket.
We found out we had a great conversation. We went back and forth. We found out we're probably about 15, 20 minutes apart from each other right now where we live.
Which in your area must be about 500 yards away.
No.
With the traffic, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm in the woods. We're in the woods. I'm out in the woods I'm south of Worcester, actually. And it's very, very woodsy out here. I love it. It's like there's a road that I drive down to get to my house that it's like I've likened it to Wakanda because you come off the highway, you get on and it's all like overgrown. And in the wintertime, I've taken pictures of it. It's like a tunnel. And then you come out into like an open, there's actually a golf course that I can walk to from my house.
Right.
And that's the big open area. It's beautiful.
It's really funny. I can walk to a golf course as well. Actually, I can walk to a now defunct golf course. It used to be a golf course. Yeah. The university owns it. So it just cracks me up that you're the one in the woods, but I'm the one in Alabama.
Exactly.
That's kind of weird. But also, see, I respect the Patriots blanket because as a college football fan, here I am in the home of the University of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yes.
My wife has a Crimson Tide Snuggie.
There you go.
So in cold weather like this, she's likely to just be enveloped in fuzzy Alabama paraphernalia at any given moment.
So, yeah, back to this picture. The overheads and behind, he's got the overheads behind him. He's got the, look at how everything's just perfectly aimed.
For his head.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. This is more of a screening room than it is a home thing. Cause it's literally like if you wanted to sit down and screen, an individual wants to screen a movie.
Right.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, you can even see, like, if he sits with his, to the left side, that left armrest, which would, as you're looking at the screen, would be the right armrest, but lean to that side. Your head is centered in the room. You're looking, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah. I would like to know, how his wife feels about the arrangement and what is her manner of enjoying, movies? Does she lay on the couch like I was describing? Does she get to sit in the chair? How does that work for other people? I'm concerned about the other people in his life.
Yeah. It's like, well, I would say just by looking at this picture, I would say he sits in the chair, leans to the left, and she sits or lays on the couch. That way they would be closer to get, you know what I mean? They could talk to each other that way.
You could hold hands just barely. You could reach out. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's romantic. Yeah.
Yep.
And there's a cat scratch thing. So
I was just going to say that.
And you know what's nice? It's covered in carpet, so it absorbs a little bit of sound.
There you go. Yep. And he does
and if
have
your
the
cat's
sound
really
absorbers.
Fluffy, they absorb sound too.
Yep. So then the next picture, we get a close up of the remote, that side, those speakers on the side. Very, I love how
everything's
just aimed right at him.
That is right there.
Yep. It's awesome.
All up in your business. Yeah.
Next picture. We're looking at, we're getting his view from the chair.
I think he's sort of standing behind his chair.
He's behind the chair, which is, but it's pretty much his view because you see where his phone is in his hand in that, in that reflection. But look at that view and you see the blue lights at the front there, Lee. That's for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It is. It is, man. Something about the, especially if it's a digital sort of LED kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. The Panamax has the, that's the Panamax with the round blue there. Mm-hmm. The second one that's underneath his preamp.
Right.
And then if you scroll down to the next one, you'll notice this is what I picked out of this. This is, you'll remember this from the 80s as well. Late 80s, early 90s, probably. Take a look at his home theater rack.
Okay.
And second shelf next to the green book there, which says Spectacular Ireland. On it.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you look right next to that, do you know what that is, Lee?
I can't zoom in on the picture. So you're talking about something next to a cable box, maybe it looks like?
That little box wedged next to it, I believe.
That little box. It looks like a battery backup or something.
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I recognize that thing from a mile away. I can zoom in with it on my phone right now. And if you if you pull this up on your phone, you'd be able to do it too.
Okay, I'm on a computer.
Do you remember the old Marantz MA500s? Monoblock THX certified amplifiers.
Is that what that is?
I think it is.
What's that little logo at the bottom right of that box? Is that
maybe
what
that's the THX logo?
THX, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
That's the THX logo. Above it, if you look in the middle top there, I think that's where it says Marantz, and then it'll say like Monoblock or whatever underneath. But you'll see the two lights and the button make those three dots that we're seeing there. That's what makes that up. That is what I wanted back in the day. I wanted to get a preamp and I wanted five of those bad boys. But at the time, I couldn't. They were super expensive at the time for me.
So there's a lot to relate to in these pictures for you and me both. Like even down to the owls that are decorating the speakers. First of all, I hope they're not vibrating on top of those speakers and creating additional sound. Make sure you got some felt or something
or
underneath those.
Museum putty, or as I call it, theater putty.
Theater putty, something like that. But the owls, that's like a big thing in my family because my grandmother was nuts about owls. Oh. And my wife kind of is too. And my grandmother collected a ton of different owl things.
Yeah.
And so that this reminds me of going to her apartment back in the day. And we have owls in the neighborhood. So yay. See, there's something for everyone in this home theater. Although not everyone can fit in it. He has designed this for himself and one other person.
It's not, I mean, even I have five seats in my theater, but most of the time it's just me. So,
right.
I mean,
you got to be realistic about what you're doing. Now you could have three people could sit on that couch and you could all enjoy a ball game, something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Or throw a beanbag on the floor.
Throw you a couple of chairs on the other side. You enjoy the Super Bowl. I mean, he is a Patriots right. fan. I'm sure he's watched a couple of them at least.
Yeah. It's kind of like me watching championship games, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it happens.
And then the last picture, if you scroll down, we get a, lights are off. We get a beautiful shot of the screen. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure my wife and I are watching this. This is Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Okay.
That looks really nice. But if you scroll down a little further, the picture doesn't disappear. That is with the lights off. You can see all of those blue lights for you, Lee. There you go. That's like Christmas.
Look at it. Look at that display.
Yeah.
I really do like it. I really do. I really do. Like, for me, my first reaction was, man, that TV's mounted too high. And then I remembered how his wife's laying back on the armrest and he's squished down in that chair looking up. It's going to be comfortable in that case.
It's going to be comfortable. And I think it gives you that movie theater experience as well. It's a big screen. You can see the room isn't huge and they're right up to it, looking up at it. It's giving you that overall experience that you're looking for. And with
that
last
picture, it's not hard to imagine that screen being enormous and thinking of that ceiling as a movie theater ceiling.
Yes.
That kind of tile situation is often in theaters, but they're bigger. So like if I just showed somebody the top half of that last picture, they might think I was in a theater.
Exactly.
A real theater. So that's very cool.
Yeah. It gives you that environment. Really, really cool. One last comment I have is that Toshiba HD DVD player. I had one too. He's got very much alike here. As a matter of fact, what I was saying is he's 20 minutes away from me now, but we also found out we went to high school in the same town.
Wow.
Two different high schools in my town. One was, he went to
Destiny
and we graduated the same year. We had a discussion and we actually know some of the same people. And it's like,
how about that?
I was laughing how many people you meet through podcasting. And it's like, I'm talking to you in Alabama. I have listeners in Australia and England and Europe. And I meet a guy who's literally 20 minutes away from me.
It is kind of amazing.
Isn't it awesome? It's so cool.
It's really any kind of broadcasting or now podcasting. It is fun. I remember back in the day, on the little radio show I did, we actually started the very first live, internet broadcast we did of our radio show was in 1998.
Oh, wow.
So it was really cool. I mean, you think it's cool now. It was cool to like have somebody in, where was it? We had somebody in the Netherlands listening one day and it just, it was the coolest thing ever. Can you believe it? But it is weird when you find out someone's so close and has so much in common. One big happy family here.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how you meet everybody. Thanks, Dalton. That was awesome. Really appreciate that. And hope everybody enjoyed that. Thank you, Lee. Those were great comments on that as well.
I had fun looking at it.
I know.
I'm a little jealous.
I do it by myself and it's fun and I hope everybody enjoys it, but it is a lot of fun when you have somebody else to have a conversation with as you go through these.
Right.
But all right, let's get to, normally this is the part where I introduce a movie that I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. I play a trailer, but here's the trailer for Lee. Here's Lee, the trigger man. So anyways, Lee.
Pow, pow.
So I invited you on the show and we went back and forth about what we could do. And like you said, you're not a movie buff, but you are a movie guy. So what's the subject that we're going to talk about today? What did you come up with?
My favorite concept for a movie is space-based sci-fi, right?
Yep.
So science fiction, outer space, aliens, that sort of thing, time travel maybe. I love space-based sci-fi. So for me, not being an individual movie guy, like I can't talk at length about every detail of one movie, but I can talk to you about the things I enjoy in these types of movies and things I don't enjoy in these types of movies and just a few little titles that have meant a lot to me that I thought were really neato, some old stuff, maybe one recent series I'll tell you about that I liked a lot.
Okay.
So yeah, for me, I kind of tried to make categories in my head of the kinds of space sci-fi that there are, right? In my head anyway. So here you go into Lee's head. For me, one of my favorites, and I think this works for you too, is what I call sort of the big concept sci-fi, things like 2001, A Space Odyssey, or more recently we spoke of Christopher Nolan, Interstellar.
Yes.
Is a favorite of mine ever since it came out. That kind of stuff where it's huge and deep thinker kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And a concept that, that is in my head all the time is, how much are you asking me to not think about in order to accept the fiction of your science? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like when I'm watching a sci-fi movie, I know I'm going to see some things that aren't real, right?
Right.
Or that don't jive with how it actually works in the real right. universe.
Physics doesn't line up.
Right. They're like, okay, that's fake. And I know it's fake. And I hate that I know it's fake sometimes. But some movies do this right by saying, okay, the fiction part we're bringing in is so big and futuristic that it just is a little bit magical. So there's this saying that goes, you know, anything sufficiently advanced technologically seems like magic.
Right.
And so movies like 2001 Interstellar, they make things so big and so distant that my brain doesn't have time to sit there and go, that's not the way an orbit works.
Right.
Right. Because there's other categories of movies. It's more like near-term realistic sci-fi, where if I'm watching Gravity and they're like, oh, let's get from this space station to that space station, I'm like, you don't have enough energy to get from that orbit to that orbit. That's not how orbits work. And it's distracting. But if I don't have to accept too many of those kinds of things,
okay,
then I don't mind. So you can give me like 1, 2, 3 things about physics where I go, okay, that's not real, but we need to have a movie.
Right.
Somehow, right? You've got to be able to write a movie.
Okay.
And so I don't mind. So yeah, my favorites are those big concept movies, 2001, Interstellar. I think you told me you wouldn't mind talking about 2001 at length if we ever get a chance to do that. That must be a good one for you.
I would. Well, here's why. I didn't get it. No,
I think I kind of got it.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's what I had a conversation in a comic book store with a gentleman that it's like a religion to him. Mm-hmm. And I recently, for this podcast, my son and I watched 2001 and I did enjoy it. We had a blast because it's like watching a football game. Because okay. it's so slow at times, you can mm-hmm. actually have discussions about what's going on screen, and you don't miss a thing. And there's even an intermission. So, I didn't really get the hype, but at the same time, I recognize that it is a great piece of art. I recognize it comes from 1968.
Yeah, shot most of it in 67, I think.
Yeah. So it was absolutely revolutionary because there's a couple of scenes. If you want to come back and we'll literally break this movie down sometime.
I would mind that. Yeah.
That would be a blast.
I could watch that over and over.
There's some scenes that I'm like my son and I, we pause the movie and I'm like, how did they do this? I don't even know how to do it today without CGI.
You can imagine,
I mean,
from what I've said about myself and how I watch movies, you can understand I forget character names. I don't,
yep.
you know, keep track of every detail of a plot. I don't need it to be a whole universe that I explore over 7 movies. Just present me with something amazing. I love the visuals. And so a movie like 2001, when you say it moves slowly, to me, that's like saying the Louvre moves slowly as you walk through it and look at paintings. Right. It's like, where's the pop?
Right.
So to me, it's setting a mood to let your mind dwell on the concepts it's trying to give you. That movie for me is about the very nature of humans, how we have two sides. We
yes.
can do amazing, cool things. And then we're also angry monkeys.
That's awesome.
And so what could you do to help humans? And how would an alien thought process work with a human? How different
right.
could it be? So, you know, like the end of 2001, that whole long, trippy, psychedelic scene.
Right.
In
definitely
my mind,
out of
from
the 60s.
Yes. It is very LSD. It is very yeah. of the moment. There's no doubt that that was LSD inspired. Well, I'm sure
my son's comment was, so the question isn't, did Stanley Kubrick do drugs? It was, what drugs did
trust me, that's 100% LSD. I read a Michael Pollan book recently about psychedelics.
Oh, yeah.
And the nature of those visuals is like, yeah, that's totally what that is. And it was so popular at the time, actors and directors and musicians all jumped on it until it became illegal. So I have no doubt. But to me, it just was, here's our idea of how an alien mind might try to relate to a human. Here, you got a human coming at you. How do you talk to it? What kind of things would you show its little tiny brain to help it understand what you're doing,
right.
what you are? So that's what I always thought that was. And then again, just exploring the nature of what a human is, and, you know, even down to what it's like to age and how you change over time, and the different parts of our brain and what we think about and how we think. I love that movie. And also, again, my obsession with, I hate it when there's too many technical things that are wrong and impossible. Well, they got that right. So like all the human physics, all the spacecraft, right, everything happening on the moon and all that, even down to the little magnetic boots that the sort of flight attendant is wearing on the space shuttle type thing.
Right.
Like all of it, it could sort of happen. And so that gives it that sense of this is a real thing. And then when you start to see what's happening with this alien technology, it you're already in there believing it all.
Right.
And so that's what I like about it. And so like I also mentioned Interstellar.
Yes.
Interstellar is sort of grounded in a lot of real physics. You know, they hired actual physicists to figure out wormholes and black holes. Right. A little bit like the movie Contact. Remember Contact?
Yes. Yep. Love
so that was
movie.
A Carl Sagan book turned into a movie. And I love that one too. Again, yep. It's a lot of real stuff. And then just, I'm only being asked to accept one big concept, and that's that the aliens do things fancy that we don't understand. And they're trying to give us something. So all three of these movies I just mentioned is sort of that. We do our little human stuff and we have our human problems. And then the aliens or possibly future humans in the case of Interstellar are doing something to try to help you.
Right.
Or to, you know, try to reach you and reach out to you and make you part of something bigger. And I love that concept. So all of those movies are great. Interstellar is actually a little upsetting at the beginning. It's a little too real.
Yeah.
A little too believable as to how humans might handle things continuously degenerating. Some of the spacecraft physics and the, maybe the economics of it. But, you know.
Actually, my son went to school for mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
And he had physics teachers telling him that is one of the most accurate depictions of a lot of that stuff. Like that he heard that and then was like, I love that movie. He wanted to see the movie. Yeah, and obviously we've watched it. It's like, it's tough to rewatch because it's so long. It's, you know, but he's like, if this was a little shorter, but you don't want it to be shorter. Mm-hmm. And after he had never seen 2001. So after we watched that, he's like, they're both about the same length, but it's 2001 is just long and drawn out, whereas there's a much quicker pace to Interstellar, but there's also a lot more physics involved. There's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more to do. And it's funny, the discussion we were having after watching 2001, we were in the kitchen, and what's in the kitchen but a microwave? And I said, one movie was made before the microwave, one movie was made after, and that's delineation.
Not true. That's not true.
For you,
there's a microwave in 2001.
Right. But actually, there was an easy bake oven.
I guess you put it in
on one side and it goes out the other.
I burst out laughing.
I go, it's an easy bake oven.
That's true. Okay.
I'm sure they're not using a 40-watt bulb, but it's an easy bake oven.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of feeds through like a laser printer, sure.
Yeah. But the mentality, society's mentality has gotten a lot quicker since the advent of the microwave oven, because we're like, I want it now. I want it fast. I want it now.
Right.
I want it fast.
Yeah.
And Interstellar is like that. Not that I'm not saying that they're trying to do that in the movie, but that's what today, if you don't have an understanding or an appreciation for the art, 2001 is going to feel weird. You're going to be like, where's this going?
Yeah. It's a perfect example of how when you do try to get all the physics right, sometimes the plot can't move the way you expect an action movie to move, right? Because space doesn't work like a normal storytelling environment.
Right.
That's why we've invented for movies warp drive and teleportation, because, you know, the speed of light is what it is, and you can only go so fast. And it's really hard to tell a story that takes place over 3,000 years.
Right.
You know, if you're like sending a generational ship to another star system, you can't tell that story without a warp drive. And so, you know, that's why even 2001, arguably, those are sort of wormhole devices, the monoliths, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to have something that can beat physics to make the story tellable. Whether that's on a big scale, like a wormhole in time travel, or something smaller that I was going to talk about in a series I've been watching on Netflix.
Yep.
So anyway, just moving on to other concepts besides just those huge concept movies. Those are thinkers.
There's definitely an entire show there for both Interstellar and 2001, yeah. Lee. So oh, make note, you're back.
I've always been such a kind of a physics nerd about, so I've actually just, I choose to sit down and read books about physics.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm kind of an oddball in that respect, but yeah, man, Interstellar kind of got a lot of that right. And that's why it's confusing, because time and space are one shmooey thing. Yeah, it's really
me neat. And my son go back and forth. We love talking that stuff. So
I love it.
It's gonna be a blast.
My other category in my head is sort of near term realistic sci-fi.
Yep.
Where it's like things that sort of could be happening, like The Martian.
Okay.
The Martian was heavily researched by the man that wrote it, and it's as accurate as they could make it. The time frames are right. The movements, the things you'd have to do, the technology we'll have in the next couple decades is right. There's a few things that aren't quite right in The Martian, like a dust storm on Mars would not knock you down.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, because the air pressure is like 1/100th of what it is on Earth,
oh.
And even a stiff wind isn't that stiff.
Oh, so, I gotcha. Yeah.
But, you know, having somebody just trip over a rock and land on a stick, you know, it's probably not as exciting as a windstorm where everybody's about to die. But yeah, the wind is not like that on Mars. But mostly they got it right.
Yeah.
The chances of being able to launch yourself up and meet somebody in orbit the way he did, maybe not. But still, you got to write a movie. Something has to happen.
You got to make it compelling. And
because space is weird. It is very strange.
Don't they say that, I think, in that movie? Doesn't he literally say that line, I think? Or somebody did somewhere.
I think maybe.
I've heard that. Space is weird. Like,
it is. It's really weird. Like, orbits are really strange. You thrust in one direction and think you're going to go faster, and you end up behind somebody. Very confusing.
Yeah.
That is true. But let me tell you, on I think it's Netflix, the series Away.
Yes, I started that.
Yes. So it's only one season so far. I do think it's coming back, but it's people on a Mars mission.
Yep.
And it's a very realistic Mars mission, except for one thing. The delay involved in sending a signal to a spacecraft that's heading that far out gradually gets longer and longer. So you can't have a video conversation like you and I are having now.
Right.
Once you get too far away, it gradually gets longer and longer delays. Well, they just decided to have it all be normal until they got close to Mars, and then it was a 15-minute delay. I was like, that's not how it works. But okay, you got to tell the story.
It's small. And it is
that's
Netflix.
Small, right?
Yeah.
It is. So, but if all I have to say is that, that's a pretty good show.
Right.
Yeah. And then, so it's really heavily focused on the humans involved and their emotions and their lives. It has sort of like flashbacks to their lives, like Lost, you know, cut back to something that happened to them. So I highly recommend that one. So I love that. I think if you can tell a story and not violate much physics, and you're in outer space, you're doing good. That's hard to do.
Right. Bring a sense of reality to it.
And
even with only bending the laws of physics a little bit.
Right. And again, so like, I guess you could say there's another category that has sort of the big fantastical things like Star Wars.
Okay.
There's too much wrong with that. Like, from a physics standpoint.
Right.
And just from a common sense standpoint, Star Wars is kind of dumb.
So is Star Wars? Yeah, but that would be like saying a Van Gogh painting is dumb.
Okay. All right.
Is Star Wars like a Van Gogh of physics? You know, like, that stuff can't happen, but.
Yeah, you don't have, or like a Picasso. No one has their eyes on one side of their head. That's not.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess anything happening on a screen that entertains me is not obligated to match physics. It's just sort of my kind of favorite thing. If I'm not distracted throughout a movie by, why would they do that if that happened in? Well, that's not how that works. You know, the famous line in Star Wars about made the Kessel run in 10 parsecs.
Right.
A parsec is not a measurement of time.
Right. No,
so
it
doesn't actually make sense.
Yeah. Actually, I think parsec. Like,
a parsec is a distance.
Right. But they answered that in Solo. Did you see Solo?
I did, but there's no way I'm getting. Remember me? I don't remember.
Okay.
It's
so
like
in Solo, you're right. Yeah. So parsec isn't time, it's distance.
Right.
And he said he did the Kessel run in under 12 parsecs.
12, 10 or 12, whatever it was,
Right, and then they keep saying it was 13, like it was 12.9, and he's like, I'm rounding, whatever the case is. But in Solo, they point out that he did do it in less distance because he did a cutoff that you're not supposed to be able to do.
Okay.
See?
All right.
So they backstory, and that was one of the things about the Solo movie.
So they fixed it for me.
Yep. They fixed it for somebody like you, where it's like, wait a minute, a parsec is distance. Yeah. How do you do it in different distance? Well, you take a shortcut, and that's what he did. So,
well, like Star Wars, again, I'm just sitting there thinking, if you have the technology to go faster than light and you have the technology to build an asteroid size Death Star in this galaxy that they're in, then why is the Mandalorian on a Harley Davidson that floats without wheels? Why would you travel in something like that, that you strap yourself? It makes no sense. There's like, if you, you know how people say, if we can go to the moon, why can't we make a better toaster? Right. So there's a lot in Star Wars. I'm like, why would that be the case?
But just
why
like
is
just
every
said,
planet perfect for humans to breathe?
Every, well, not like every planet, just every planet they go to.
That's true.
Cause you're not going to film a movie on a planet that you can't breathe on. Right.
That's right. Right, right. And of course, I also understand that it's really hard to make movies if you have to make every alien be bizarrely different from a human being.
Right.
Like, just the sci-fi is, I mean, the special effects are are too expensive to make every single creature be, you know, enormously different. And I've already forgot what was, I went to the theater and saw a movie where the aliens were like octopuses and like squirted ink. What was that?
I didn't see that one, years I don't
back. I forget the name of everything. That's my problem. That's why I'm not a movie guy. But I saw it and I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Did you see Sphere?
I didn't. Sounds like I should.
With Dustin Hoffman. I read the book. The book is much better. It's a Michael Crichton book. And it takes place under the ocean, but it's a sphere that, check it out. I think that might, there's some issues with it. People have had issues with the story and whatever, but it's along those lines of there's time travel involved and time bending and mind bending. It's some cool stuff. I really, really like the book. That's why I like the movie.
I do love a good time travel story, though. That's kind of a whole other discussion, is all the many ways time travel has been used throughout movies, whether time loops or splits or, you know, what it does. I do, whether the universe is deterministic and that sort of thing. But do you have a favorite space sci-fi?
Favorite would be Star Wars.
It would be Star Wars.
It would definitely be Star Wars. But sci-fi, I mean, I love Terminator. I love the love the time travel effect. Yeah. That one there has affected me. The time travel on that has affected me since I was 14, since I saw Terminator.
Okay. And the first one,
You just think of like, okay. Now, it's hard to imagine now, since we've had so many Terminator movies, but what it was like between Terminator and Terminator 2 and all of the fan theories that we had going on, you know, person to person, because there was no place to go and discuss with the rest of the world, you know. But there were tons of theories going on. Like, so wait a minute. So he comes back and he's the dad of the kid, but then but the kid sends the dad back.
That's a time loop, yes.
Right. And then and all of the conversations that go on that you had, and that inspired so much that when the movie was coming out, you know, T2 was coming out, I could not wait. I read the book before the movie he was even released. I couldn't wait. And I love that type of, you know, makes you think and a lot of it is, I think what you're saying is, like, when you watch a movie, if there's so much stuff that you go, that can't happen. Yeah. You just lose focus of the story, right?
Exactly.
Whereas the overall story, like a Terminator type story, or, you know, even Star Wars, there's so much wrong with physics.
Yeah.
That's where you just go, okay, fine. I'm not in this for the physics.
All wrong. Right. It's all wrong. Here, like, so let's go ahead and just enjoy it. Yeah.
I'm in this one because, wait a minute, he's the dad? You know, he's his father? Huh? How did that? And that took 3 years to find. I mean, there's different reasons to have fun with these things. And in the conversations, the water cooler talk, which nobody says anymore. It's social media now. But it's the water cooler talk that takes place after you see these movies, which is so much fun.
I can't even remember the last time I was around a water cooler.
I know.
An actual water cooler?
I know.
Can't even think of it. By the way, Terminator 2 was one of the first Laserdiscs I bought. I had Laserdiscs for a while.
Yeah.
Starting in like about 89 or so. I still have my first Laserdisc player. It's from 1980.
Oh.
I bought it used from a guy. It literally has wood grain around the sides.
Was that Pioneer?
A giant lid on top.
Is it a Pioneer Elite? With the wood?
I don't think it's Elite. It's a Pioneer VP 1000, something like that.
Well, the Elites came with wood. I remember the Elites had wood, so that's it would distinguish it from, like, if you just bought the cheap one that was all black.
Right. Well, this one was 1980. 1980.
That's
late
nice.
1980 written on the back, and it weighs like a 500,000 pounds. But I've kept it like under a cabinet because I don't want to get rid of it. I want it to be it's 40 years old now. It has a little problem playing some discs, but it's really nice.
Yeah, I would love to get another Laserdisc player. I had a few Laserdisc players. It was really nice when you could upgrade to the one that played both sides and you didn't have to flip
never
the disc.
Had that. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember upgrading to that in the 90s. I think I got my first Laserdisc player in 93. Shortly, I got married in 93, and I remember asking my wife for permission to buy a Laserdisc. And first movie I bought, because it came, I was at the store and the Laserdisc that was available was Unforgiven. They didn't have Terminator 2. That's the one that I wanted. But that store that I bought the Laserdisc player didn't have Unforgiven. But yeah, I have a pretty extensive Laserdisc history, and I still have all my discs, just not my player anymore.
Okay. I still have a player. Most of my life, I was in a too low of a budget situation to buy a lot of movies. So I have like this many Laserdiscs, like 4 or 5 maybe. And then I never really bought, just rented a few, borrowed them from a couple of friends back in the day. It really wasn't until the DVD era in the 2000s started actually buying things. But I was just thinking, another thing in Star Wars that I have to shut my brain off when I'm watching is it's a World War II movie, isn't it? Like, and all the spacecraft fly like aircraft through non-existent atmospheres. They all bank into the turn for no reason.
Well, George Lucas he's said that his inspiration for Star Wars, those battle scenes, is from the World War II flights and the air battles.
Yeah, yeah. And so it makes sense, and it's a good storytelling, but like for me, I'm just...
right.
That's not right. That's not how... But I'm wondering, how many... did someone tell me that the series The Expanse is a little more realistic about movement in space?
I've started that one as well, but I have heard the same thing. I've heard that it's pretty good to watch for the scientific... The physics part of it is pretty
The physics
good.
Part of it, yeah. I watched most of one episode, and I got... you know me, I'm triggered easily. I got triggered by the use of the term clicks instead of kilometers. It's like, this is like a stupid show.
Oh.
But not... And like, I very quickly just went, I hate when they do that. You know, it's just clicks. Just trying to be all tough sounding. And all the characters are so... It's like watching Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Well. Not my kind of thing, right? So all the... Why do characters in sci-fi not tell each other stuff?
Like, what do you mean?
That's another common thread that drives me nuts. Okay, there's people in a difficult situation. Something happens in space, right? Even on Away. And one person maybe sees an alien out the window and doesn't tell everyone else on the ship. That happens in so many movies where the viewer knows something that other people in the movie don't know. Because stupid guy over here didn't tell everybody what just happened.
They're not telling everybody exactly what they saw. It's
that's another thing that'll take me out of a movie. It's like, who in the world would not say they just saw the alien out the window?
I mean, for movie making purposes, they probably do it to create that suspense. So now you're as suspenseful as that guy that doesn't know. You know, and that's why you're yelling at the screen, don't go in there, dum-dum.
Tell him! Tell him! Why didn't you tell him that thing happened? Yeah, I hate that so much.
And I'm guessing you know this from your radio days, because I've slowly figured it out just in podcasting, is that it's not bad to be wrong in your podcast, because you know you have good listeners when they start yelling at their radio to tell you that you're wrong. And you know what I mean? And those are the listeners that are like, no, it's this. And because they're engaged. Yes. You know,
that's called engagement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they're thumbing up or thumbing down your thing, whatever your thing is.
But they're engaged.
They're discussing it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So I get it. It's just one of those things where, like, I don't know, maybe I just want humans to be more like humans. And humans don't always act like that. Some do.
Right.
But it's the kind of people I don't like who won't tell you everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't make friends with people who vague book online. Oh, I can't believe it's happening again. What are you talking about? Tell us.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
There are people in real life like that. There are people in movies like that.
You click on their tweet and go, who are they talking to?
I guess I just won't say anything.
Right.
Well, then don't.
But
what
are
you talking about?
They're needy. And they're waiting for somebody to go, what? What happened to you?
Right.
That's what they want.
I don't like those people in movies either.
Right.
So that'll kill a space sci-fi for me too. you know, because like real astronauts, for instance, mostly really do the right thing and work together and do what they're supposed to do.
They made a whole movie right stuff.
They have the right stuff. Exactly. I mean, you know, I think I read one time there was a Russian astronaut that had a spell for a while on the mirror and he didn't want to do anything and unhooked the stuff from himself and wouldn't follow the schedule and was really ticked off and was drinking, you know, that sort of thing. So like it can happen. Oh, don't get me wrong. But like some space movies, every character is just the kind of person I don't like. Like I was going to tell you, I think maybe I mentioned this to you, how much I hate Armageddon. Oh. That's a space sci-fi.
I love that movie.
It's so stupid.
Why? Why? I just love the movie. I'm just so entertained by Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck. Liv Tyler. I love the music. My wife doesn't even like the music. Every time like that Aerosmith song comes on, I'm like,
right.
I just love the movie.
Dude, I think I hate everything you like in that movie. Every character, every stupid line, the physics is so wrong. My God, physics wrong. And just the
Steve
the
Buscemi
song,
though, he's a blast.
I like Steve Buscemi.
I love Steve Buscemi.
I do not like, I mean, I have Steve Buscemi eyes, right?
Yeah. That's a good call. Yeah.
Big googly eyes, man. I like the guy. That movie is just so dumb. It's a perfect example of like the kind of characters I don't like. They're just sort of douche kind of guys. I just don't like it. It's like that little bit of The Expanse I watched.
Right.
And everybody was kind of douchey in that show too. Oh. I'm like, I don't like these people.
I like big explosions. I love, you know, I like my theater to go boom. And if you,
I got you.
You get that.
That's another thing. It's kind of like, the warp drive is something we had to invent because real space is weird.
Right.
And, you know, like in real space, one big explosion is the end of your movie. There's not a lot of one big explosions you can survive. Apollo 13 did it.
Right.
Right. That's in real life. But, you know, most of the time you get some catastrophic boom that would set off a subwoofer. That's the end of the mission. We'll see you later. Movie over, 10 minutes, done, right? So you have to take some liberties. It's not that I mind that a bunch of crazy things happen. It's just that you combine all the physics nonsense with characters I hate, just laughable stuff constantly happening. Yeah. It's just not my kind of thing.
I got one for you that's kind of up your alley, too.
Okay.
Shouldn't we be shutting our subwoofers off for space movies? Because there shouldn't be any sound.
That's sort of true. But that's why movies like 2001 have a lot of fantastic music.
Exactly.
Right?
But they have a lot of silence, too.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's what I mean.
Because the silence makes the subwoofer moments even more exciting.
Exactly.
So if you have constant explosion, 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 engine, boom, 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 it's all at one level and you don't have that dynamics of action and of sound and of the visuals. You know, if it's mostly black space and then all of a sudden a bright planet comes in, as in 2001 when the Earth and Sun rise up into the picture, that makes it magical. I can't hang with a space movie that's just constant boom, boom, boom. And, you know, in space, depending on the situation, you sure could hear a big giant boom.
Oh, really?
In fact. Oh, yeah. And I mean, not in the vacuum of space, you, the person, if you're in a spacecraft and something happens, you will hear a boom.
Inside the craft.
Yeah. But, and vibrations can easily transfer through into a spacesuit from some situation, right?
Okay.
Something. But yeah, if you're just floating in space and a boom happens over there, you won't hear anything. But I did see the other day in real life, what was it? Who's the company? Electron. There's like one of those smaller rocket companies. They launched a rocket two stage. They had a camera set up in the first stage to see the second stage light and go away. And the little camera had a microphone, which seems stupid once you get out of the atmosphere. But the second stage blew into the first stage and sounded amazing.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So space?
Just outside the atmosphere. Yeah. And so the you know, the exhaust coming out of the second stage is real stuff. It is material. It's gaseous material. So it rippled across that microphone and just sounded amazing. It looked really cool as it took off going away. So I should link you to that.
But, yeah, definitely.
You know, I am impressed when people can tell a story that involves space sci-fi where they don't distract me with ridiculous physics and yet they can still make the story move along. That is a challenge, and not every movie can do that. A lot of them do default to the sort of action movie. This may as well have been happening in the Old West, but we just put it in space.
Yeah.
That's what Armageddon feels like to me. Or again, Fast and Furious.
That's what Star Wars is, too. that Star Wars is very much a Western. Yeah.
It is very much a Western. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, if the whole thing is fantastical, I guess I can roll with it. I don't hate Star Wars.
Right.
I've had a good time watching Star Wars movies. Enjoyed it quite a bit. But it is one where you do have to switch into that different mode
right.
of watching. It's no longer a space sci-fi. It's just this cool adventure with cool characters.
Yeah.
Because I have to turn off my space knowledge and interest, right?
The physics. Yeah. And it's funny because did you grow up reading Popular Mechanics by any chance?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I have subscribed to a science magazine. Yeah. When I was little in the 70s, there was a National Geographic for kids. It was called World Magazine.
Yep.
And later they just called it National Geographic for Kids. I had that until maybe I was like 10, 11, 12 years old when I just started getting Science Magazine.
Okay.
So it was like Science 81, Science 82 every year. They just put the year next to the word science. I had that. And then later did get Popular Science. To this day, I still get Scientific American. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And been all over it.
Right. And your mind, I believe, works a lot like mine in that my mind, the way it works for art, for instance, I went to art school. I loved to draw. But everything I draw is realistic. Mm. It's like I'm a human Xerox machine. I love to draw portraits and make things. I had a project in college where we had to take a tile, a 1 foot by 1 foot tile, and do an oil painting on top of this tile that looked hyper realistic. So you had two tiles, one that you put all of your objects on it. That's the realistic one. Then you had to recreate it. So part of the design was, don't put like a paper cup on there because you're never going to be able to paint your tile to look like a paper cup is standing off of it. But if you put a piece of newspaper, like a newspaper clipping laying on that, you could make your tile look like you could pick up that piece of newspaper clipping. So
I would like to see this.
Me too. I don't know where mine ended up. I think my parents have it or something. It's in one of my portfolios. I love that stuff. I loved the design of it, coming up with something like you put a paper clip down and you have to do it all in oil. And so I chose things that I would be able to duplicate easier.
Right, right.
But I love that idea of duplicating, making things look hyper realistic. But at the same time, having gone to school with a bunch of people that are hyper creative in the other direction, they can just, I went to school with this one kid. He could draw from his mind like an F-16 with all of the little details on like the intakes and everything. And he would just sit down and sketch that. And I'm like, how do you remember that?
Wow.
But then other people that would draw stuff that don't even exist, but it just looked amazing. My brother does that with art.
Right.
He draws. So I have appreciation for all of that stuff. And, but I also have that hyper realistic mind like yourself that is like, I want to see somebody create art out of realism. And that's pretty
no
cool
doubt.
Too.
I know how you feel. I feel that way with photography.
Yeah.
I told you when I was a little kid, I got my first camera probably age 7 or something. Maybe even 6, somewhere around in there, a little 110 camera. But my whole thing has always been trying to take better pictures. And I will artistically frame a shot and artistically pick what's in the shot, but I'm always obsessed with making it look like it looked to my eye.
Yeah.
Because my eye enjoyed it. I want to show you what I saw.
Yeah.
And I've always been jealous of people who have a more artistic eye with their photography and they're doing something that, so I'm very sort of journalistic about my pictures. And so I can take a very good picture of your house. But I don't know how to turn it into like this magical, cool thing that's partly abstract. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes I want to, and maybe I think I do, and I'm not good at it, and then I hate it, and I stop, and I don't do it again.
Yeah.
You know that feeling?
Yeah.
You try to be artistic, and then the first time you try it, you're like, well, I'm not perfect at it the first time I tried it, so I'm going to stop.
Right. It's a different mindset. Like, I took characters. Yeah. I had to take a whole class on cartoons and drawing characters and everything, and that was very hard for me because I'm very detail-oriented, so it's like to try and leave stuff out and only focus on the things that make you. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. My mind doesn't work that way. My eye doesn't see that way.
Yeah, but I gotcha. That affects this whole movie opinion. It really does.
It does.
So you see me talking so much about how I get so mad when there's too much physics wrong in a space movie. That's my brain wanting things to be correct.
Right.
It needs to be the way it is and then give me the fantasy on top of that. Build on that foundation of some reality for me. But on the other hand, like we say, like Star Wars, I like, just on another topic, I like really wacky modern art when I go to a museum. I like the stuff where it's just a freaking rectangle and everybody's getting mad at it. And I'm like, ah, no, I dig it.
This is right, right. Awesome.
Like I've been to the Museum of Modern Art in New York and we had all kinds of great discussions about the various things that were set up and the, like the stuff that makes most people like just pissed off at it. Like, well, I can do that. I'm like, well, did you?
Exactly. That's what I say
you
too.
Like, do it.
But you didn't.
You didn't do a thing. And I keep telling myself that too. Like, you know, just get busy and do a thing. You're doing a thing right now, making a podcast
right.
And making videos, you know, so do a thing, be creative. So I allow the creativity. I just like in my space movies for there to be some real space.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with that. It's like you said, it's like this podcast. One of the things that inspired me to do podcasts, to get into podcasts was something that Tom said on AV Rant. A while back, but he had just in conversation with Rob, he had said like podcasting is an art. And until he said that, I never thought of it. And that made me think like, well, it kind of is an art and I like art. So this is my art for the last, you know, 2+ years now. And I've really enjoyed, like you said, we talked before about Adobe Audition and everything. It's like, mm-hmm. I love getting into the nitty gritty. Like you and I had some mistakes tonight. We had some issues technically, but when the listener hears it back, there won't be anything there. And love that. I love that I can things back. Yeah. I had Steve George. I had he had a request a few weeks back, one of my listeners. And you know what? It was a case that it meant a lot to him. I went back into a podcast I had already recorded and dropped in his request. And it was completely seamless. And I loved it.
So fun.
Isn't it? It's like you doing that art.
I used to do a radio show for years. It was on a college station and we won awards for it, right? Like we were the number one college radio show in the country a couple of times. And so I understand that bit. We would record some stuff pre-recorded, but then we did a lot of stuff live. I really like the challenge of live.
Yeah.
By the way. I know this is off topic what we're talking about, but we used to have live band performances.
Yep.
And they would be in like 30 minutes. We would mics go on. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Good luck. And I had to mix the sound and interview them and not make a mistake.
Ugh,
so it was song, interview, song, interview, song. And then to commercial after that. And I loved that because I needed something to force me to just go for
it. Learn.
Right.
Yeah.
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 To figure it out.
I've
got to make you listen to some of that one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Send it along. I'll listen. I love stuff like that. And like I said, until Tom had said that, I listen to Joe Rogan too. And Rogan will say like, just do it. You want a podcast? Just do it. And so I had that idea too. But Tom saying that art thing and compiled with a few other podcasters I'd listen to, I'm like, you know what? Just do it. And I did it I love the art side of it. I love it. But it's a lot like these movies, like you said, and that's part of your inspiration. That's what gets you into home theater as well, is that these science, they also have an aspect to these sci-fi movies that really are enhanced by watching them in a home theater. So, that's whereas like an Armageddon, which you don't like, that's all home theater. That's the story is very minimal. The acting is very minimal. The physics are out the window, but it's
gone.
Yeah, but it's all home theater and it's all like testosterone and fun. And I can appreciate both, you know?
I suppose I would appreciate that type of situation if it just weren't space, because space is my thing. I've always loved it, even since I was a little kid. When I was in elementary school, first and second grade, I was kind of obsessed with space, and the librarian came to know me at my school as the kid that finished all the space books in the library. And I was like asking her to get another book because I read them all. When Carl Sagan's Cosmos came out, I was about 11, 12, some running, like a perfect age to absorb that. So I've just always really liked space. So if you had the same kind of testosterone, boom, boom, explosion, fun thing, but it wasn't space, I think I'd be okay. I could hang with that, right?
Right.
But I'm sitting there laughing like it's not supposed to be a comedy, and I'm laughing at how your spacecraft is behaving and how you're moving around and the kind of nonsense you're saying. And just, it's all just dumb to me. But the same amount of dumb over here in a different topic,
you're
probably good.
You're good. Right.
Right. So that just, you know, we all have our little things that we like the most, and please don't mess up my thing. Do it right. It's got to be real.
Yeah. Well, they all have a little bit missing from them. I mean, 2001 has flaw. They all do, but like you said, the majority of realism that you're looking for. So
I think whatever topic you're into, you appreciate when people get almost all of it right.
Yeah.
And then put the story on top of that. Cause I got to imagine there's other sort of scenarios, topics besides space that other people might be listening to us saying, yeah, you know, I like this kind of movie. Yeah. I like an Old West movie, but make it like it really was in the Old West.
Yeah.
Give me some realism of how people lived and acted. And the more realistic it is, the better it is. And I that's got to be true for all kinds of topics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The more you know about something, the harder it is to watch that thing because you'll know that ain't right, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think nowadays it's a little more common. Exactly. I think nowadays it's a little more common, especially if it's a bigger budget movie, they'll hire one expert at least to keep them in line so that they're not being completely ridiculous on whatever topic it is. Like if you're into, there's some people that are really into airplanes.
Yeah.
That's just their thing, man. Airplane, take pictures at airports and stuff like that. And if they're watching some airplane based movie and something's wrong, it just, I can't even pay attention. Well, that's how it feels.
I think people do that with home theater in general. It's like, I see a lot of reviews about movies and I have listeners I've had discussions with where they'll be like, well, the pictures like Terminator 2, it's not grainy enough. And it's like the new cut of the 4K. Okay. I remember I reviewed, that was my second review I did. And I remember reading, and it wasn't listeners coming at me. I think I had like two listeners and they were both relatives at the time, but the people that I was reading about that 4K edition of Terminator 2 is people were like, it's too smooth. It's not grainy enough. I want more film grain. I want this. I want that. But I felt like when they remastered that or whatever they did, it's a modern, a futuristic movie. You don't need the film grain that you'd have in say 300, the movie 300, which is super grainy, but that's part of the art. You want to make that a little bit more cleaner to get those hard edges that you want out of the machines and everything.
It's again, a whole other podcast. You could talk about the characteristics of the image, frame rates and film grain. And the kind of motion you put in a movie, all that has a certain sort of effect on people. I'm a big fan of high frame rates.
Yes. Oh.
I like, again, I love realism.
Gemini Man?
I haven't seen it in high frame rate.
Oh, yeah. They didn't. And Rob did a great podcast on that where Rob really broke that down from the theater. You were on that podcast.
I only saw it in 24 frames per second here. Oh. I watched it online streaming and they didn't have it. I thought for sure streaming they'd have it at least 60.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get on disc at 60. That's all you can get on disc.
I guess I need to.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Need to get the disc.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Why not? Wasn't one of the Lord of the Rings high frame rate? What am I thinking of?
I think the Hobbit was.
Hobbit. That's the Hobbit. One. Yeah. It was like 48 frames per second. They just doubled it.
Yeah.
And it upset some people. Well, it looked like watching a play.
The soap opera effect, they call it. But wait till you see Gemini Man in 60. It's so good.
I hate that they call high frame rate a soap opera effect.
Right.
Because all of television since the beginning of television to now has been 60 images per second. Even when it was 480i, that was 60 fields per second.
Right.
Each field was a different image. So it was 60 images per second. I'm getting a little notification on my phone. Sorry about that. I have to wrap it up here pretty soon.
Yep.
I like realism, and that's why I'm so obsessed with my space stuff.
That's exactly. So that's awesome. Lee, we've spent almost 2 hours here, and we just talked about all of our future podcasts together.
Yeah, we just listed all the topics we're going to do in the future. So this was just a summary.
Yeah.
A prequel. To all the things coming in the future.
Exactly. And it's funny because, I mean, like you said, when we did the Thanksgiving and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, this is the HT, this is Aaron Braden, everybody. And it's like, it was great. And now I'm sitting with you, Lee Overstreet, and I've been listening to you for years fill in and enjoy. It's like, oh, Lee's on this week. And I loved your podcast with them. And now you're sitting here with me. And really, it's like, We have been talking for years. I really,
it is a nice effect, isn't it? That's an interesting thing about media being so personal nowadays. You can have interactions like this, whereas we always thought the things that we saw on screen were sort of magic and distant.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's humans that we can just talk to through magic devices. And
exactly.
I should have had an adult beverage in here for this. That would have been.
No, I don't do that. I need to be on
my other podcast.
Yeah, I need to be on my A game. I'm not the pro like you and Rob and Tom and Ira and Braden. I'm 2.5, 2+ years into podcasting. I'm still like, I'm still in awe of you guys, and it's been a blast.
Everything's just a matter of pursuing whatever artistic thing you like and just doing it and doing it and doing it.
Absolutely.
And then it just happens.
Yeah, just be like, I do know that about podcasting. Just be you, and the people that follow you will enjoy. You can't fake it. So you just gotta
do a real thing.
Yep.
Be you.
Be you.
People like you. Just do you, man.
Exactly. So, although my son knows I have a radio voice. It's like,
a little bit. Yeah.
Because I know that, like, I call putting my makeup on, because my daughter was a dancer and she dances. And when you do a recital, you put, you know, that crazy makeup on so that your face looks normal from the stage. You know, when people are in the audience, they see, like, you want to highlight things more and everything. And so I talk with more of an inflection and everything when I do. Because if I talked in my normal voice, people would fall asleep.
I got you. Oh, and I'm telling you, I learned the same thing. And this is a little bit held back compared to what I used to do on the radio. But the louder and crazier I got, the better it sounded.
Right.
And so, I'm practically screaming an entire radio show back in the day when I was doing it. So I'll have to let you hear it sometime. It was all very high energy.
Yeah.
So just let her rip.
That's what I try to do it. And especially when I'm sitting here talking by myself, it's like, I really got to let you be like, hey, that's why I come out with that. Hey, it's like, I've got to get psyched up. But it's
talk straight to your listener. Hi, listener.
Exactly. The home theater nerds. That's what I call them.
Yes.
Because I'm part of the Nerdy Legion. So. Home theater nerds. Synchronicity. So, all right. Do we have anything else? Do you have anything
else? No, man. I think I got to get on out of here, and we got to go get some stuff and make dinner.
Life. All right. All right. Well, thank you very much for being here. Where can everybody find you again?
Well, until I take my own advice and do my own YouTube stuff, I wish I had something to promote. I have ideas.
Nice.
That radio show I used to do, we shot a lot of video back in the 90s. I got a lot of stuff, and I think I can make it into a fun YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
I'll explain it sometime in the future. But right now, on Twitter, my handle is @LeeOvertweet, because my name is Overstreet.
Yeah, I get it.
See? That's funny.
Yeah.
@LeeOvertweet. So find me there. If you want to find me on Instagram, I'm LeeOvergram.
That doesn't flow as well as Overtweet.
No, Overtweet's great because it rhymes.
Dead on.
Overgram, I got a little weird on that one. Yeah. I wasn't very creative on that one.
All right.
I did do a blog once where I was LeeOverblog, and that sounded terrible.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter @BrightsideHT. You can talk to me there, or you can email me brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can find any of this stuff at my website, brightsidehometheater.com. You can find me there. Easy for me to say.
Good looking little website.
Thank you. And of course, you can go to the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Check out my stuff. All of my past episodes are there. And all the other great episodes, all the great podcasts are there as well. And I have a new thing. This week, we have Shazam coming up next week. And here's a clip. Another classic holiday movie.
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to be in this thing.
The sound is tons and tons of fun throughout.
Fingers.
No, it's not. That's not my name.
Chosen one.
There is an advantage to the 4K disc, and there's no doubt about it. Colors are just more vibrant. They jump off the screen.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
I'm Batman.
Get him, Batman!
A lot to take in, which makes it perfect for multiple viewings. And that will do it after that nice Shazam clip. Lee, thank you very much. I I always say I hope you'll come back, but I have no doubt you're coming back because we have way too much to talk about. So
yeah, this show seems like we just made a list of all the things we have to talk about.
Yeah, that should get us through next year.
Okay. 2021 is booked. I guess I'm here at least a few times.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Very much looking forward to it. We have a bunch of movies to get to. That's going to be a blast. We'll break each of those down. And anything else that pops in your head, Lee, just let me know and pop on in.
All right, man. This has been fun. Like I tell Rob and Tom every time, I just love doing stuff like this. So anytime.
Thanks, Lee. And thanks for listening. Now go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.